it's going to be a little bit different kind of morning this morning, as you can tell already. And I'll be honest with you, we're standing here in fear and trembling. You know, it's what it boils down to. You're always a little anticipative of, you know, how things are going to go. They all look good on paper, you know. And it's when you go to, you know, put them into action that things get a little bit unnerving. So if we make a slip, just forgive us, okay? What we did is we drew straws for sharing this morning, and all of us are going to talk just a little bit. I drew the first two short straws, and so I'm going to get our morning started. And I don't know, I'm sure a lot of you are old enough that you probably remember this story, but it did start at the Holland Presbyterian Church, I'm sure, way back before I was even born. And that was when Deacon Witherspoon was giving an exhortation on, you know, the differences and the important difference between heaven and hell and our ability to choose which way we wanted to go. And I mean, he really laid it on that morning. He laid it on good. Matter of fact, he got to a point where now he was going to challenge the congregation, and he said, "Everyone here who wants to go to heaven, raise your hands." Well, everybody did, but one little girl in the front row. And of course, he noticed that, and he said, "Honey," he says, "don't you want to go to heaven someday?" And she said, "Yeah, someday, but I thought you were getting up a load for right now." You know, you know, I don't know about you, but the way this world is going, I'd sure like the rapture to happen ASAP. Maybe somebody would give me an amen on that. It would be nice, wouldn't it? God has promised us a rapture. He's promised to come back. And it will happen, folks. It will happen when he sees that everyone has had a chance to respond to the gospel. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise or in coming back, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish." He doesn't want anyone to miss this opportunity, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, I tell you about what I'm anxious about in order to, why I want to get to heaven. There's two things. The first thing I'm anxious to have happen is to be able to see Jesus, you know, for the first time, really, to see him. The second thing is I want to get in on the celebration. How can I be sure there's a celebration? Well, I happened to look into Luke chapter 15, and I got a little indicator that there is a lot of celebrating in heaven that goes on. And if you remember in chapter 15, there is the parable about the lost sheep, you know, remember that? And it's a parable comparing that sheep to a person who's lost in sin. But the shepherd, Jesus, he keeps on looking for that lost person, doesn't he? And finally, he finds him. He finds the person in that lost, and the lost is found and saved, referring to a spiritual salvation of the person. And then what happens after that? Verse 7, it says, "Because this person is found, because they received Jesus as Savior, there's a party thrown in heaven. Everyone celebrates." And you know what? I wouldn't doubt that it's not only the Trinity that are celebrating, but it's also the angels, and it's also everyone who's entered heaven already that's up there. They're all in on this great rejoicing, this great time of celebration. I'm sure that's the ultimate celebration. I'm really, you know, I'm confident of that. But the rapture, you know, in my heart, is going to be so sentimentally special when all earthly believers are brought up to be with Jesus and reunited with all those who have gone before. Heidi, you want to push the play on that one? Now, I tell you, that's going to be a pretty good celebration, and it's going to be quite a reunion. And I want to be there to get in on it. Don't you? Crowd participation? Yeah? Okay. Thank you.
Well, I want to be there when the saints have their reunion. I want to be there where youth will never, never fade. Where eyes that once were blinded will sparkle to behold. Happy crowds that stroll along the great white way. Well, I want to be there.
I want to be there.
When the saints all gather round to shout and sing.
To shout and sing.
Up on heaven's parade ground. When the night has passed away and we greet that happy day. the band begins to play, I want to be there. Well, I want to be there.
I want to be there. I want to be there where there be no crippled children. Oh, I want to be there to hear the laughter as they play, for to see our Master's hand touch them when they are fast asleep, and when they awake, they find their suffering has gone away.
Well, I want to be there when the saints all gather round to shout and sing, up on heaven's parade ground. When the night has passed away and we greet that happy day, when the band begins to play, I want to be there.
Say, I want to be there. I want to be there when they fill the sky with music. I want to be there to hear that mighty chorus sing. For when the hands of time are shackled and can never move again, I want to be there to kneel and bow before my King. I want to be there.
I want to be there
when those saints all gather round to shout and sing.
To shout and sing
up on heaven's parade ground. When the night has passed away and we greet that happy day, when the band begins to play, when the band begins to play, when the band begins to play,
deserve it, you can go ahead and do it, okay? Okay, now I got the second straw, so I want to tell you about something. This is a neat story, so listen to me close, okay? You can count the apples on the tree, but who can count the apples in a seed, goes the old saying. So it is with the influence of a single person. Now, take Edward Kimball, for example. Never heard of him, have you? I've never heard of him. You're not unique in that sense. Most people have never heard of Edward Kimball. Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who not only prayed for the often rowdy boys in his class, but also sought to win each one to the Lord. If Kimball ever felt like giving up, he never talked about it. If you have ever taught the Bible to young boys, you know that the experience can often be like herding cats. One young man in particular didn't seem to understand what the gospel was about, so Kimball went to the shoe store where he was stocking shelves, and he confronted him in the stock room with the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That young man was D.L. Moody. In the stock room on that Saturday, he received Jesus Christ as a Savior, and in his lifetime, Moody touched two continents for God, with untold thousands coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But the story doesn't end there. Actually, that's where it begins. Under Moody, another man's heart was touched for God, Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became the evangelist who preached to thousands. And one day, a professional ball player had a day off, and he attended one of Chapman's meetings, and thus Billy Sunday was converted. Well, Sunday quit baseball, and he became part of Chapman's team. Then Chapman accepted the pastorate of a large church, and Billy Sunday began his own evangelistic crusades. Another young man was converted whose name was Mordecai Ham, and he was a scholarly, dignified gentleman who wasn't above renting a hearse and parading it through the streets advertising his meetings. When Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina, a sandy-haired, lanky young man, then in high school, vowed that he wouldn't go hear him preach. But Billy, this was a guy by the name of Billy Frank. Billy Frank, as he was called by his family, didn't eventually go to that meeting. Well, Ham announced that he knew for a fact that a house of ill repute was located across the street from the local high school, and that male students were skipping lunch to visit the house across the street. When students decided to go to interrupt the meetings of Mordecai Ham, Billy Frank decided to go see what would happen. That night, Billy Frank went and was intrigued by what he heard. Returning another night, he responded to the invitation and was converted. And Billy Frank eventually became known as Billy Graham, the evangelist who preached to more people than any other person who ever lived, including the Apostle Paul. And I think Billy Graham got Jim Dobson's brother-in-law saved, and Jim Dobson's brother-in-law led Jim to the Lord, too. I think it doesn't end here, but our story ends with Billy Graham. As of 2008, Billy Graham's estimated lifetime audience, including radio and television broadcasts, topped 2.2 billion. That means that approximately 2.2 billion have heard the gospel from Billy Graham's mouth. Now, that's a number that's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? Billy Graham has shared the gospel with more people than anyone else in history. This fascinating chain of events was triggered by a Sunday school teacher's concern for his boys and was willing to speak up for Jesus. If you are like most people, you have served in some capacity and wondered at times if you were making a real difference or not. Maybe you've thought about quitting because you didn't think you were making any difference. Well, I'll tell you what, the next time you are tempted to give up, please remember Edward Kimball, whose persistence and faithfulness was tremendously honored by the Lord. The story would have looked very differently, wouldn't it, if Edward Kimball did not take his Saturday to seek out young Dwight Moody, and then eventually it led to Billy Graham. It all looked different, wouldn't it? You can count the apples on a tree, but only God knows how many apples are in the seed, single seed. Do your part today in the kingdom of God and trust God for the results. I use the scripture verse that I listed in the bulletin, Romans 10, verses 13 through 15, where it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." Now, I'll tell you what, folks. We can take this story and this reference, and we can alibi our way out of rising up and participating in the gospel. We can do that. But I remind all of us that when we become a Christian, we don't just pray the prayer and then comfortably slide our way to heaven. No, if we say we have faith, then that faith is to be followed with corresponding action. It really is. Friends, we need to rise up and tell others of the great things God has done for you, especially regarding your salvation. Heidi?
I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you how he set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you how he set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me.
Well, I would not be a gambler, and I tell you the reason why. I'm afraid the Lord might call me, and I wouldn't be ready to die. Will he take me by my hand, and I'd join that Christian band? I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me.
I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you how he set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me.
I just rose. I'm afraid the Lord might call me, and I wouldn't be ready to die. Will he take me by my hand, and I'd join that Christian band? I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me.
I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you how he set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you I set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay.
I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me.
We'll see if we can get it right. Let's see if we can get it right.
I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you how he set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. I just rose to tell you how he set my spirit free. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay. I just rose to tell you what the good Lord's done for me. Took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on that rock to stay.
I just rose to tell you what the
good Lord's done for me.
I made the goof. You don't have to tell me afterwards.
Obviously. this next song is called Remember, and it talks about remembering when you first became a Christian, and also it's going to talk about how the Lord wants all of our lives, and what our part is in it. And I just want to read a little bit from Ephesians to you. Actually, I think it would be awesome if sometime in the next day or two you would read all of Ephesians, because there's not terribly many chapters, and it gives a good overview of how through no fault of our own or no credit of our own, that he calls us and we're able to accept, and that doesn't happen without him choosing us first, and also that as we grow in him, we discover, as it says in Ephesians 3, starting with 14, for this reason, and this is the words of Paul, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In chapter 4, he goes on to talk about unity in Christ and how eventually he works in our lives, and eventually, one thing by one thing, we grow in him and we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and have power over our thoughts, our actions, how we respond to others, both like husbands and wives, or other people that you have relationships with, such as your children and the other believers. And then also, what do we do with that? Do we just hang on to the gospel, or do we share the good news, as Ron was speaking of? And this song talks about all those things. Oh, yeah.
so far away.
So far away.
So far away. Do you remember the time when you prayed, Lord, please be mine? Come in my heart tonight. Never to leave you, no, never would he be far away. He's loving, he's guiding, he's constantly abiding. He meant it when he said he would stay.
Where it's just hard to understand, like, why did a certain tragedy or horrible thing happen? And even as Christians, we ask that question, don't we? I'm sure we've all had or know someone who's been through something just horrific, and you have to ask why, or even how could God let that happen, right? Don't we? I know I do. Funny though, I never ask why when something good happens. I just kind of accept that and say thank you. But so the song we're going to sing, the chorus goes, "You don't have to know the reason why. You can't comprehend my thoughts, for mine are so much higher. Try to understand that it's all within my plan. You only need to know I love you. You don't have to know why." And so when I think of those times of even great loss, and you're trying to process all that and wrap your head around, okay, how could this happen? We have to at first believe that God loves us, right? And that understanding might come tomorrow. It might come years down the road. It might come when we get to heaven. We're promised that, I'm sure. We'll get to know why for sure. Now, here's a little side note, God working this morning. So Dad's been badgering us for several weeks for Mom and I to come up with something to say in a verse, and Mom picked the same verses as I did. So I thought, what a great sign. So I'm going to read part of hers and just a little bit more, and it talks about believing God's love and knowing that his love surpasses the understanding, right? Okay, so Ephesians 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love,
may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
I had got to thinking just the other day about this world below, with all its toils and all its cares, why we have to face so many trials and temptations, and why such heavy burdens we always seem to bear. Like, why did my mama have to walk her long dark valley, when all she ever did was love everyone she'd meet? Why did those friends of mine lose their firstborn child? I asked the Lord these questions, and he whispered back to me, you don't have to know the reason why. You can comprehend my thoughts, for mine are so much higher. Try to understand that it's all within my plan. You only need to know I love you. You don't have to know why.
I began to think about my own life, about the many mountains and the valleys I have faced. That's when I realized I never would have made it if he hadn't brought me through with his amazing grace. Then I was reminded of his suffering on Calvary. The question that he cried out, why have you forsaken me? Had to wonder why a God so pure and holy would send his only son to die that I might be redeemed.
You don't have to know the reason why. You can't comprehend my thoughts, for mine are so much higher. Try to understand that it's all within my plan.
You only need to know I love you.
You don't have to know why. Try to understand that it's all within my plan.
You only need to know I love you.
You don't have to know why. You don't have to know.
Better in a sermon? No, I guess you guys like my sermons now and then, don't you? Well, we've come to the last song, and that's doing pretty good. You know, this went faster than we thought it was going to. But I gave you some scripture verses in your bulletin that go along with this last song entitled Tell Me. And the two that I want to reference right now are from Psalm 66, verses 16 through 20, where it says, come and hear, all you who fear God, and then let me, David, who's writing this, and David says, let me tell you what he has done for me. You know, God has done for me. That's what David's saying. He said, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, boy, if I would have done that, he said, the Lord would not have listened to me. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. I want to tell you that, he says. And then Acts 13, verses 31 to 33, Luke writes, what they were doing at his particular, time of importance in the writing of the Bible. And he said, for many days, he, Jesus, was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. And they are now his witnesses to our people. Those people that saw Jesus. We tell the good news, Luke says. He says, we tell the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us and their children. And you can just keep adding to that, and their children, and their children, and their children, by raising up Jesus. Folks, the sharing of what God has done for you doesn't have to be complicated. It really doesn't. As a matter of fact, the ordinary person wants to hear the truth of the gospel spoken to him simply and clearly. Case in point was, a number of years ago, when I was with a different ministry, I was with them, and we were helping to train follow-up leaders for the Billy Graham Crusade in the Bay Area crusade that was going on out in San Francisco. Art Bailey, who is the organizer, who organizes all these crusades at that time, I don't know if he does it anymore, but at that time, we got to talking with Art, and he made this comment that was really striking to us. He said they had found out in their follow-up that most new converts have to hear the gospel and understand the prayer that they prayed at least six times before they really understand their conversion. They just have to hear it. They have to process it. And the Holy Spirit helps them to process every facet of that prayer that they prayed in understanding the gospel. And you see, the gospel, put simply, it's important that we do it that way. And you can do it, folks. We can all put the gospel simply because we know what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be verbalized in any eloquent or eccentric way. Just put simply. As a matter of fact, it's got to be simple because we have to understand it, don't we? We have to process that. And why this is important for you to be, all of us to be challenged with this is that on any given Sunday, this is quite a charge, really. It doesn't have to be just for your church, but for any church. On any given Sunday, and actually any given day, actually, but since we're here on Sunday, we're going to say Sunday. Any given Sunday, your willingness to tell of God's work in your life and to demonstrate it in your life can be a matter of life and death spiritually to someone who wanders in here on any given morning. You ever think about that? Who wanders into your life on any given day? It can mean a matter of life and death spiritually as they wander into your circle of influence and your willingness to say, do you know about Christ? And of course, see, the deal is that they're coming already with a question and they're wondering. They've been watching you possibly, maybe somebody family member, who knows? But maybe it's somebody that sees Christ being demonstrated in you, and they come to you with the question. They say, I don't know what there is about you, but I need to know about the hope that I see in you. I need to know about that because I don't got any right now. And it's at those times, see, that we get this opportunity, folks, to tell the story of Jesus simply. Okay? Our last song.
There's people waiting for you to tell them too. They're ready and waiting.
Yeah, that's right. I'm tired of hollow.
end with a thank you to Heidi. Do you know what a gem you have in Heidi?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be able to share. It wasn't letter perfect, but Lord God, we just know that we heard the words, and those were perfect. And so, Father, we just ask that your word be initiated in our spirits to action as a warrior, to be able to be bold in our opportunities that we come across to be able to share simply the gospel message. And so, Father, I just ask for your blessing on each person here as they contemplate how they can be useful, and they can be useful in so many different ways and so many different opportunities. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit make us keenly aware of those opportunities to share the hope that is in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.